Now, in this world, faith is better than sight. I got that the wrong way around for many years in my own thinking. I used to think that faith was the poor relation of sight, you know? Well, we can't see God, so we just have to put up with believing. That's not the way it is in this world. It's the other way around. We live by faith, not by sight. Why? Because in this world, faith is better than sight.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, I want to go back and spend just a little time talking about what we just heard.
We walk by faith and not by sight. The question is, which is more? Now, there's obviously a sense in which when we're in the presence of God, we're no longer walking by faith because all things are made plain to us.
Sure.
So there's a sense in which sight is more. But there's also a profound sense in this life in which faith is more. See, if I just go through life on the basis of sight, just on what I see in this world, then I'm going to be the kind of person who says, well, you know, the politics are disconcerting, the violence is frightening. Sure. I'm looking at what I see and it's all putting me into a panic. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. And faith sees further than sight because faith lays hold of a sovereign God who works out his purposes even in a troubled world like this. So that's why we need faith. It takes us further. It goes where sight cannot go.
I love that phrase, faith sees further than sight, and such an important reminder for us as we really think about what the psalmist says in Psalm 122. That's where we are today. Hope you'll open your Bible. Join us there as we begin this message, From Seeing to Believing. Here's Pastor Colin.
Well, we're continuing our series today entitled Moving in the Right Direction from the Psalms that are called Songs of Ascent. These are Psalms that were sung in the Old Testament by believers who were making their way up to Jerusalem for the great festivals of worship that were held in the temple in those days. And we saw last week, if you were here, you may recall that Jerusalem is of great significance in the Old Testament story. This was the place where time and again we're told in the Old Testament, God put his name. It's a very unusual phrase. You find it, for example, in 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse 36. God describes Jerusalem as the city where I chose to put my name. This was the place where people could go and meet with God. This was why Solomon built a great temple in Jerusalem, and when it was dedicated, he prayed with these words from 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and verse 20, "May your eyes be open towards this temple day and night, this place of which you said you would put your name there. May you hear the prayer of your servant prays towards this place." Very interesting that Solomon even prayed that if a person couldn't go to the temple in Jerusalem, that God would hear their prayer as they turned and prayed facing towards Jerusalem. This is how it was in the Old Testament. You find this in 2 Chronicles 6 and verse 20. This was the place that God had promised to meet with people on the earth. It was very specific, and you find it time and again throughout the Old Testament. Now, this is significant for us because, as we saw last time, God was setting the agenda. God is the one who determines where he will meet with us. It's not for us to determine where we will meet with God. It is for God to decide where he will meet with us. And the whole of the Old Testament is teaching us that God has that right, that prerogative. And it leads us to the central truth in the New Testament that the place that God has chosen to meet with men and women is in Jesus Christ. It is not a location geographically, it is a person. But God has chosen to meet us in Christ, in whom all of his fullness lives. Jesus is God with us. So I hope that you got the picture as we move through this series. Moving in the right direction, these songs of ascent were the songs that people sang as they were going to a place in which they particularly met with God in the Old Testament. And that physical journey and these songs sung, by the way, are really a picture or an analogy of the Christian life, our journey with Jesus and our journey to Jesus, the meeting place between a man or a woman and God. And we saw last time how the journey begins, how someone came to the point of saying, I've lived at a distance from God for just too long. Too long I've been in Meshech. And begins the journey, and beginning the journey finds the help of God. I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? my help comes from the Lord. Well, now I'd like you to turn in your Bibles, please, to Psalm 122 as we continue this journey. Psalm 122, and let us hear the word of God. Notice that this one is again entitled A Song of Ascents, but this time we're told that it was written by David, King David. I rejoiced with those who said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Our feet are standing in your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built like a city that is closely compacted together. That is where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to praise the name of the Lord, according to the statute given to Israel. There the thrones for judgment stand, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadels. For the sake of my brothers and friends, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your prosperity. Now we're told here that this psalm was written by King David. And that raises a number of questions, because right at the beginning you'll see there it says, let us go to the house of the Lord. Now the house of the Lord is obviously temple language. And the question that arises is, obviously there was no temple in Jerusalem at the time of David. That wasn't built till Solomon's time. And so that has led a number of modern scholars to say, obviously, therefore, David could not have written this psalm and it must belong to a later period. Now, I'm going to make the assumption that if the original Hebrew text says it's a psalm of David, which it does, that means it was a psalm written by David. And remember that David was a prophet. That means that by the Spirit of God, he was at times able to anticipate the future as it was revealed to him by God. And it seems to me, therefore, that the right way to understand Psalm 122 is that David is speaking prophetically. He is being borne along by the Holy Spirit of God and being given a glimpse of what the city of God will experience in the future. Charles Spurgeon says, possibly the city was not all built in David's day, but he wrote under the spirit of prophecy and spoke of it as it would be in the age of Solomon. Now, I take a moment just to say that to you because it's very important to how we interpret this psalm. We're looking at it in this way, that this is David's prophetic vision of the future of Jerusalem, the great city of God. And so as moved by the Holy Spirit, he prophesies about its future. He sees two things. The first is that this city will be uniquely blessed. And you find that in verses 1-5. He sees that in the future, crowds of people will come up into the city, that they will come with joy. They will say, let us go to the house of the Lord. There will be fellowship in the city. Verse 3, the city is closely compacted together. It will be filled with praise, verse 4. This is where the tribes go up to praise the name of the Lord, and it will be a city where there is justice. This is where the thrones of David stand, verse 5. In fact, not just the thrones of David, but the thrones of the house of David. You see, he's prophesying the future line. So David looks to the future of this city that he has established as his capital, and he sees that it will be full of the blessing of God. This is where God has put his name. This is where his people will come. This is where they will be uniquely blessed. They will find joy and they will find worship. But that's not all. Not only does David see that this city will be uniquely blessed, but he also sees that this city will be uniquely troubled. Verse 6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Now, why would he say that? Obviously, because he sees that in the future, this great city will be uniquely troubled. The city will be under attack, And not only the city, but everyone who loves the city will be under attack. And so he says we're to pray, may those, verse 6, who love you, anyone who loves you, may they be secure. As he looks to the future, looking through the psalm, David sees that Jerusalem will have to be a fortified city. May there be peace within your walls, verse 7. Now, the only reason you have walls around a city is to keep the enemy out. And so he's seeing already that in the future, Jerusalem is going to be a city with many enemies. May there be security, verse 7, within your citadels or your towers. So a city that not only has walls, but it has towers, this is obviously a city that needs serious defending. Now, David wrote these words 3,000 years ago, but he spoke prophetically of the future of this great city of Jerusalem. And he says, this is what it's going to be like. This will be a city uniquely blessed, the place of God's presence. It will also be a city uniquely troubled.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called Seeing to Believing. Now stay tuned. We'll get back to the message in just a moment. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported ministry. It's your generosity that allows us to keep Pastor Colin's teaching on this station. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to offer you a copy of Nancy Guthrie's book, I'm Praying for You, 40 Days of Praying the Bible for Someone Who's Suffering. And Colin, who would you say this book is for?
Well, it's for anyone who has ever said to someone, I'm praying for you. And that surely is every Christian. We've all said to someone who's in need, or perhaps a loved one in our family, I'm praying for you. But here's the challenge. How do you keep your prayers fresh when you've been praying for someone for some time, perhaps even for many years? I mean, what are you going to do? Just keep saying, God bless them, God bless them. How do you keep your prayers fresh? And Nancy Guthrie has done a wonderful job in putting together a book that draws deeply from Scripture so that we are given 40 practical suggestions as to how you can pray for a friend, a loved one, or someone who's going through a really difficult time. It's a marvelous resource, and I think folks are going to find it very, very helpful.
Well, we want to send you a copy of this book, I'm Praying for You, as our way of saying thank you for your financial support this month. You can give online at openthebible.org, or when you call 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. Or again, our website is openthebible.org. Let's get back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
Now, I want you to imagine for a moment that you are asked to paint a picture, and under the picture there will be the title, In the Presence of God. What would you draw? See, think about it. I imagine that some of us would draw a beautiful sky and a meadow and a river and someone having a picnic, and because that picture of tranquility is what we think of when we conceive of being in the presence of God. Others of us might draw this beautiful sanctuary, because we come here every week and we have the sense of meeting with God, and it's a central point in our week and in our lives, and we meet with God in a special way here and in the presence of God. That's what we think of. Others of us might stretch the imagination and attempt a picture of heaven. Never seen heaven, but might draw some streets of gold and a throne and some angels and being in the presence of God. Let me say this. I can almost guarantee that not one of us in this congregation would draw a city under attack. You wouldn't draw shells and mortars. You wouldn't draw a scene from the aftermath of a tsunami. You wouldn't draw a child in hospital recovering from appalling injuries. And why wouldn't any of us draw that? Because we conceive of the presence of God in tranquility. We don't conceive of the presence of God in trouble. And the reason for that is that we've understood the first half of Psalm 122, and we have not so easily grasped the second half. And that is why this psalm is of such enormous significance and importance for us. We see that God is present where there's unity, where there's peace, and where there's justice. We find it much more difficult to grasp how God could be present where there's conflict, suffering, and war. So when the World Trade Center towers crumble, the great cry that goes up from the nation is, "Where is God in this?" When the disaster in Southeast Asia has rocked the world, the great cry that goes up across the globe is, "Where is God in this?" These are huge questions. And I have found that Psalm 122 is uniquely helpful here, because it reminds us that God is present not only in the place uniquely blessed, but also in the place uniquely troubled. Jerusalem, of course, down through history in biblical times and since, has been troubled more than any other city in all of the world. That's just a historical fact. Since the time of David, Jerusalem has been attacked by the king of Egypt, the king of Syria, the king of Assyria, the king of Babylon. It's been overrun by the Roman Empire. Since biblical times, it has been seized alternately on multiple occasions by Muslims and by crusaders. It has then been taken over by force by Turkey, by Britain, by Jordan. And rarely does a week pass in which on our television screens we do not see some report of trouble or tragedy in Jerusalem. The trauma goes on and on. Now, I have no doubt in my mind that David saw something of this in anticipation as he, under the spirit of prophecy, wrote Psalm 122. Which is why he says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because the city uniquely blessed will be throughout history the city uniquely troubled. In fact, there will be so much trouble that many people will say, where is God in this? Of course, you and I have asked that question many times. And that is the central question of Psalm 122. That is why I've called the second reflection on these psalms, moving in the right direction from seeing to believing. Because if you try to discern the presence of God on the basis of what you see in this world, you will always be in difficulties. See, we live in a world, a fallen world, where there are terrible tragedies. We live in a conflicted world where evil powers try to subvert the purpose of God. We live in a sinful world where even the very best of people around us will sometimes disappoint. And we live in a dying world where life is given to us for a limited period of time and then we pass into eternity. Since we live in this fallen world, the reality for people in every place and in every generation is that we will see tragedy, conflict, sin, and death. We will see that. And of course, we will ask the question, how can God be present in such a world as this? And in order to answer that question, we need to move from seeing to believing. What do we believe? We believe that God is at work in this fallen world, that he has not abandoned us to chaos, but that he is at work to redeem his people. He is always at work to reconcile his people to himself and to each other, that he offers hope and a future to every person in his Son, Jesus Christ, and that in Christ he invites us to share his own everlasting life. Now, in this world, faith is better than sight. See, I got that the wrong way around for many years in my own thinking. I used to think that faith was the poor relation of sight, you know? Well, we can't see God, so we just have to put up with believing him. That's not the way it is in this world. It's the other way around. We live by faith, not by sight. Why? Because in this world, faith is better than sight. For this simple reason, sight is so incredibly limited. I cannot see the final outcome of a single event in my life. And neither can you. I cannot see the past. I cannot see the future. I cannot see eternity. I cannot see angels. I cannot see God. I can see the things that go wrong. I can see trouble. I cannot see what God will bring from them. For that, I have to move from seeing to believing. That's a step forward, not a step back. You see, believing, faith operates on a wider stage with a larger horizon than sight in this world can ever encompass. Moving from seeing to believing is moving in the right direction. It is moving forward. It is expanding the horizons. It is faith that lays hold of God. It is faith that receives the love of Christ poured out at Calvary. It is faith that anticipates the final outcome that will not be known until we are in the presence of God. Now, God's people have always had to live by faith and not by sight. See, think of Jeremiah the prophet coming to the city of Jerusalem. Imagine him trying to sing Psalm 122. Read the book of Lamentations and see what the city looked like after Nebuchadnezzar had finished with it. Not one stone left on top of another. Jeremiah describes in the book of Lamentations what he saw. The dust, the ashes, the devastation of war, the utter destruction. Then he tells us what he believed. Your mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. He's moving from seeing to believing. 70 years later or so, Nehemiah comes to the same site of the devastated city of Jerusalem. And what does he find? The rubble has just been lying there all these years. And the walls need to be rebuilt. What he sees is just a massive task that seems absolutely overwhelming. What he believes is that God will bring hope from the ashes. Faith is better than sight. It reaches much further. If you go by what you see in this fallen world, you will live your life at the level of discouragement. You've got to move in the right direction, which is from seeing to believing.
Well, next time, we're going to continue to look at how we do just that. Our message is entitled From Seeing to Believing. It's part of a larger series called Moving in the Right Direction. And it's really a study of Psalm 120 through Psalm 134. These are the Songs of Ascent. These were songs sung by Old Testament believers as they made their way to Jerusalem, where God had promised to meet with his people. Now, these songs were filled with spiritual wisdom, and it's wisdom that we can apply to the journey of our lives. So if you want to get a copy of this series for yourself, ask about moving in the right direction when you call us at 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. Well, Colin, I would imagine that some of our listeners are at the point where they're saying, where is God in the middle of problems that I'm experiencing?
Yeah, and when that question comes, you need to know how to answer it. You know, here's how Paul approached it. He put it this way: we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, what is unseen is eternal. So you've got to get your eyes on the unchanging reality of who God is, that he's for you, that he's at work in your life, that you are secure in Jesus Christ, and that is the rock, the unchanging foundation on which you can rest your life in every experience of life. Get your eyes on what is unseen, and you will find strength to navigate your way through what is seen, even when it's troubling around you.
Well, thanks, Colin. You know, it's really good to be reminded of that. Well, we're going to continue with that reminder next time here on Open the Bible. Hope you make it a point to tune in. If you ever miss a broadcast, you can always listen online at openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
Jesus said,
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. God's word is the food that will nourish your soul. You need it every day. And Open the Bible Daily is a daily devotional that will open the Word of God and lead you to Jesus. It's available for free on our website, openthebible.org. For more information, visit openthebible.org/daily. That's openthebible.org/daily.